are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. The Jeff Teague trade is official, and we're gearing up for part two of the Wolves-Pacers home-and-home on Friday night, this time from Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. We did spend roughly half the show on Thursday talking about rapid reactions to the Jeff Teague trade. We're going to start there today as well before we'll get to a quick preview for Wolves-Pacers on Friday night for the second time in, a little over 48 hours. So to recap the Jeff Teague trade, because that's still the news of the day, and I guess if you missed yesterday's podcast, we posted a little bit later, in part due to the Jeff Teague news. The trade, if you missed it, was Jeff Teague and Trevion Graham to the Atlanta Hawks for Allen Crabb. It was essentially, the Wolves did this for, three to four reasons, I guess you could say. Number one, the primary reason was to certainly free a roster spot, because now the Wolves have some space to do some things. I mean, if they were desperate to free a roster spot, they could have waived somebody. Eating some money and stuff like that isn't ideal. This was a creative way to free a roster spot, but they also did some other stuff along the way. Number one, they moved out a player who simply just really didn't fit the system. The offensive system that the Wolves are running with Ryan Saunders as coach does not fit for a high usage point guard who is a reluctant shooter from three and actually not that great of a passer when it comes to point guards. So they're moving out a point guard who doesn't fit the system perfectly. And they're also moving out a non-shooting wing in Trevion Graham for a guy who is a good shooter in Allen Crabb. Admittedly, Crabb is having his career worst season from three. I think he's shooting a little under 33%. But for his career, is about 39% from beyond the arc. He shot over 40% a couple of times. So they're moving out a reluctant shooter in Teague and a non-shooter in Graham to bring in a good shooter. Also, all three players involved in this trade have expiring contracts this summer, so it's a little bit of a shuffling the deck chairs situation. However, again, finding a player who fits the system better than a point guard who doesn't is equally as important. So there's three reasons right there. It also, if the Wolves do really like Allen Crabb, it gives them his bird rights this summer as he heads into his prime years. I think he's 27, so they would have the ability to keep him in the fold if they want to this summer. He's not a great player by any means, or he wouldn't have been traded like four times already in his career, but he is a good shooter, and he can be a decent defender. Also, he played four seasons for David Vanterpool in Portland when Vanterpool was the assistant coach there and essentially their defensive coordinator. And Crabb also played in Brooklyn last year when Pablo Prigioni was with the Nets. So there's a lot of familiarity both with the Wolves coaches and Crabb as a person and as a teammate and as a player, as well as Crabb's familiarity with the offensive system. So it's got to be a welcome trade for him, and so likely get just as much opportunity, if not more, to play in Minnesota, depending on what other moves might happen. But also playing for coaches he's familiar with, playing in a system he's going to be better in, and also for a team that's slightly better and at least has a glimmer of hope for the playoffs. It's a chance for him to build some value before he hits the open market this summer. So those are really the four reasons why the Wolves did this. The expiring contracts, make this palatable from they're not taking on any future salary. They're freeing up roster spot. They're moving out a player who doesn't fit the system and a poor shooting wing to bring in a good shooting wing. And they also get Crabb's bird rights and the familiarity there. So those are the reasons why the Wolves did the trade. In terms of what they do next with their roster spot, it's pretty much unanimous across the league. National and local reporters alike are saying that the Wolves are clearly not done making moves, have been involved in several conversations. Gerson Rosas all but confirmed that. He spoke with The Athletic, John Krasinski, had an article on The Athletic following the trade that was updated with some quotes from Rosas, basically just saying that they're going to be aggressive. Nothing that we haven't heard from Rosas before, but the likes of Adrian Wojnarowski was saying the Wolves will continue to be active. Kevin O'Connor from The Ringer, several guys nationally were suggesting that the Wolves will be very active, and there were a few additional names that were thrown out there as possibilities for the Wolves, or at least guys the Wolves have inquired on. I guess the ones we already know about, obviously, are D'Angelo Russell, and John Krasinski mentioned in his article at The Athletic that the Wolves continue to be engaged with the Warriors on Russell, but the Warriors are basically holding their ground and saying they need to be blown away. So while that's probably the ultimate goal, I still think that's pretty unlikely to happen, at least certainly not before the deadline. And I don't even know that it happens this summer, although I think it's far more likely it happens in the summer than it does now. Once the Warriors have a better handle on Steph Curry's recovery from injury, Klay Thompson's recovery from injury, and the draft comes into play as well. Other players that have been mentioned, we've talked a little bit about Dennis Smith Jr. being in the news as a possibility for the Wolves. He's, quite frankly, he's not a very good player, and he's also not a very good shooter, and so it's that one's a little bit curious to me. I get the idea that a guy who can break down defenses and get into the paint easily and be a little more dynamic and athletic than a guy like Jeff Teague could be attractive to pair with Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, Dennis Smith Jr., I guess everybody always thought his best case scenario was something like a Russell Westbrook. Obviously, that's not going to happen. So it's a little bit of a curious trade target, but I know, again, if the Wolves figure they can get a flyer on him for basically nothing, maybe that's worth it here at the tail end of a season that doesn't appear to be going anywhere. But that's another name that's out there. I don't think he's a long-term solution at all. Another one that's a little bit more intriguing, but I also think pretty unlikely, was thrown out there by Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer in the wake of this deal, the Teague deal, and that's Aaron Holiday of the Indiana Pacers. Aaron Holiday is only in his second season, and is, I mean, again, a point guard and would be a fit for what the Wolves are trying to do. He's a solid shooter. He's shooting just a hair under 41% this year from three, shot about 34% from three as a rookie last year. And, you know, is a good passer, is a defender that, you know, could work within the Wolves system. I mean, he's fine. He's a little bit small, but, you know, I think that could all get figured out. He shot about 44% of his shot attempts over his first season and a half in the pros have come from beyond the arc. Now, the problem, of course, is he's a part-time starter for a playoff team. And also, obviously, this should be less of a big deal, but plays with his brother, Justin Holiday, and clearly they love doing that in Indiana. So my guess is the Wolves may need to pay an extra premium to pry him away from the Pacers. He was a first-round pick just last year, 2018, or I guess prior to last season. And, you know, still has some upside. So I don't think the Pacers are really inclined to move Holiday. Interesting that the Wolves inquired on him. And basically, it sounds like the Wolves are just open to acquiring any type of young point guard, any type of young ball-handling talent to add to their roster. And Holiday's a good example of somebody who it's a little bit of thinking outside the box, acquiring a contending team on one of their point guards and asking them if they're available. Clearly, Rosas is leaving no stone unturned, and he's not going to be afraid to at least ask on some of these guys. But that could be certainly an interesting target, to say the least. All right, a few more notes on this trade, and then we'll get into Wolves Pacers next. First, wanted to mention our friends at MyBookie. Are you the type of fan that knows football so well that you could choose any game and call it? Well, MyBookie is the place for you because they let you turn all your sports knowledge into cash in your wallet. Between football season, the tail end of football season, I guess, the smack dab in the middle of NBA season and college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get in on the action with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple times games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you get an extra $1,000 in free money to play with. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA, LOCKEDONNBA, to take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, transitioning into talking about Wolves Pacers, I guess another relevant point that's both related to the trade as well as upcoming games for the Wolves is the roster balance and what the Wolves are going to do in the near term. Clearly, there's not another trade that's like about to happen, about to go through. The Wolves still have just under 3 weeks till the trade deadline. Obviously, Jordan McLaughlin's on a two-way contract and has filled in as the backup point guard for stretches this year. Has had a couple of good games. The game at Golden State comes to mind, but overall has struggled at the NBA level. The Wolves could choose to simply have Jarrett Culver fill in. I mean, Culver's been so good as a starter recently, playing more off the ball versus initiating the offense. I don't know that it's the best move to stick Culver back into a role off the bench initiating offense. So, but maybe they do that. Maybe Culver just plays more minutes and is playing with the first unit in Shabazz Napier as well as the ball handler, primary ball handler on the second unit. Not sure exactly what they're going to do. Keelan Martin, of course, is also on a two-way contract and is nearing the end of his ability to stay the 45 days that he can spend in the NBA. So there's always a chance his deal gets converted into a partially guaranteed deal with low guaranteed money, something similar to what Naz Reid signed before the season. And Keelan Martin can handle the ball a little bit, but obviously he's more of an off-ball shooter and defender than he is a ball handler. So it remains to be seen a little bit what they're going to do. Shabazz Napier is the only guy on the roster who's truly a point guard. But the Wolves will piece it together here in the near term. And I'm sure that if they aren't able to land a young point guard, which is basically what they're looking for at this point, almost exclusively, then the Wolves will probably go out and sign somebody. Maybe it's an undrafted guy with some upside, like the point guard version of a Keelan Martin, or maybe it's a veteran to just kind of help the Wolves get through the season as they continue and give them flexibility as they continue to look to make a deal, either before the deadline this year or this summer. So a little bit of a TBD there in terms of what the Wolves will do at the point guard spot, but clearly they've thought this through at least somewhat and are comfortable going with some combination of Napier and McLaughlin and whoever else can handle the ball, whether it's Jared Culver, Andrew Wiggins, or you know somebody else, kind of as a de facto point guard. In terms of how it impacts the game against the Pacers on Friday, it will leave the Wolves shorthanded. It looks like there was an article written on ESPN that mentions it's very unlikely that the Wolves get Allen Crabbe in time to play on Friday night. Of course, the Wolves won't have Graham or Teague, which means they will be shorthanded. Jake Layman is still out with his turf toe injury, and Karl Anthony Towns is again listed as questionable. I think I mentioned that it was due to his knee the other day. The Wolves are still saying it's his illness, so this could potentially be the fourth straight game now that Towns would have missed with illness after missing, 12 games with a knee. So we'll see if he's able to return Friday. Maybe he will, simply because the Wolves are shorthanded and it would be awesome to get him back. Or maybe he was just, the joke on Twitter, of course, is that he was waiting for Jeff Teague to leave so he could actually get a decent post-entry pass. But the other side of the coin is the Wolves might just wait until they're back home and play at home this weekend. There's no sense in rushing him, you know, which I guess has been the attitude all along. So why start now? But again, if his knee's cleared to play and he's simply feeling under the weather, then maybe there's a chance that he does suit up for this one. So we'll keep an eye on that. We obviously, per usual, with him being listed as questionable for basically the last month, we won't know until pretty much game time. But at any rate, the Wolves will be shorthanded, minus Graham, minus Teague, and not yet plus Crab. So expect Keelan Martin to be joining the team, and probably Jordan McLaughlin as another point guard option, so that the Wolves aren't completely reliant on Shabazz Napier, although that's basically where they're at this point. The Wolves do turn around on Saturday and play at home against Toronto, so it seems like there'd be a pretty good chance the Wolves would just hold Towns out on Friday at Indiana, just bring him back at home against Toronto on Saturday on another's day rest. You don't need to worry about playing him on a back-to-back. The game, I guess the flip side of that is that the game at Indiana is probably actually more winnable than at home against Toronto. So perhaps play him in Indiana, rest him at home against Toronto, then bring him back Monday at home against Denver for conference opponents. So there's a few different ways the Wolves could handle this, but I would be very surprised, at least based on the comments from Ryan Saunders and everybody else around the Wolves, if Towns did not return at some point in the next three games between Friday's game at Indiana, home for Toronto Saturday, and home for Denver Monday. Even if it isn't until Monday, I would think he's back at some point in the next few days. So we have that to look forward to. Also, the trade rumors are clearly, I mean, the consensus, again, is the Wolves are far from done. So we're going to be seeing a lot of Wolves trade chatter to kind of help us through this tough part of the schedule for the Wolves, especially now that they're back struggling again and have lost three in a row and four of their last five. All right, so diving a little bit more into the Wolves-Pacers matchup. Of course, these teams just played Wednesday, so there's only so much to say that wasn't already said as part of the recap from that game. But kind of combining the recap from that game and what the Wolves need to do moving forward, Minnesota played a good half on Wednesday. I mean, they were up five or six at halftime against the Pacers. Outside of Domantas Sabonis just destroying the Wolves, mostly in the pick and roll and a little bit on the offensive glass, the Wolves did pretty good against the Pacers guards. And, you know, Jeremy Lamb, Malcolm Brogdon, Justin Holiday, excuse me. Well, yeah, I mean, Aaron Holiday as well, are dynamic enough to give the Wolves problems. We talked a little bit about how the Pacers are one of the league's top mid-range scoring teams, and the Wolves will have to contend with that again on Friday. And again, the Wolves' defense is basically geared to allow some of those mid-range shots. The Wolves simply just need to make adjustments, whether it's doubling Sabonis after he's rolling to the rim and shifting off of a shooter. The Pacers don't shoot a ton of threes, but they're pretty good when they do. I think if Sabonis is just going to get what he wants in the paint, then that's going to be something the Wolves will need to consider doing. And then also, you know, instead of playing typical drop coverage on the pick and roll, maybe mix in, you know, maybe don't do it all the time, but mix in some stunts and some things where players are going to play a little bit higher. You know, the guy guarding the roll man is going to at least step up a little bit and contest some of those mid-range shots, whether that's Gorgui Dieng or hopefully Karl-Anthony Towns or Noah Vonleh. But the Wolves have players that are good in the pick and roll. It was just, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was Sabonis' quickness or the way he was diving to the rim that was just so difficult for the Wolves to slow down. But that's something they're going to have to contend with once again. They did a good job on him in the second half of the game against the Pacers, but that's when the Indiana guards really started dominating the game. Really, if the Wolves play a lot like they did Wednesday, but just are a little more efficient offensively, which of course being shorthanded and only having one point guard will only make that more difficult, but they'll have a shot in this game. The Wolves actually match up decently well with the Pacers. They should win the three-point battle. And outside of Sabonis, the Wolves, especially if they had Towns available, should be able to control the paint as well. Sabonis is, of course, very good, but he's not like a top-flight defender, and he's a good rebounder. He's not a great rebounder. Miles Turner is a little bit of a different animal in terms of how you play against Miles Turner, but Sabonis is the bigger issue for the Wolves. So we'll see what they choose to do defensively in this game. All right, in our last segment, we're going to go ahead and put a bow on the Wolves-Pacers matchup, look ahead to what's on tap for the Wolves, what you can expect to see this weekend, spend just a quick moment talking about the matchup against the Raptors, and that'll be it for today's show. To recap the preview for Wolves Pacers on Friday, basically the Wolves need to obviously do a better job on Domantas Sabonis. They need to check the Pacers guards in the mid-range game and force them into more difficult shots. And then for the Wolves, they just need to be, again, more efficient with their offense. They need to actually get into their offense. Shooting more threes is great, but they need to shoot more open threes. They need Jarrett Culver to keep playing how he's played, and they should be in this game. They should be able to make a game of this. Obviously, it's not likely the Wolves can pull this one out, but they're not a terrible matchup for the Pacers. So it should be a good game. And of course, there's always that sliver of hope that Karl-Anthony Towns may play in this game too. Peeking ahead to Wolves-Raptors on Saturday, that's the second half of a back-to-back for the Wolves, of course. We'll be at home. The Raptors have struggled a little bit of late. They're still fourth in the Eastern Conference, and they're still, you know, 26-14. So obviously a good team. They've alternated wins and losses, however, dating back a couple of weeks. They haven't won two games in a row since they had a five-game win streak back. Geez, I guess this was the end of December, really. But they've been alternating wins and losses since then. They do play the Wizards on Friday night, so it will also be the second half of a back-to-back for the Raptors, and they'll be traveling. So maybe that wouldn't be a bad, you know, circling back to the Towns conversation, resting Towns in Indiana Friday, bringing him back Saturday against a tired Raptors team might be the move in what would be a home game for the Wolves as well. But at any rate, the Raptors are fairly healthy. Fred VanVleet is questionable for their game on Friday against the Wizards. It's a home game for Toronto. He's been one of the more consistent and durable players for the Raptors this year, so that would be significant if he misses really either end of this back-to-back. The Raptors have gotten Kyle Lowry back from his injury early in the season, and remain a really good team, especially defensively. The offense has been less than consistent. The bench has been a little bit disappointing overall, although Norman Powell had 23 points in a win when the Raptors beat the Thunder just the other night. But the bench has been a little bit disappointing. Pascal Siakam has been awesome. OG Anunoby has been really good. The starting lineup is still one of the better lineups in basketball with Siakam, Anunoby, Gasol, Lowry, and Ibaka. And all those guys, none of them are on the injury report. They all appear to be as though they'll be available this weekend. Although, again, on the second half of a back-to-back, it's always possible that somebody's rested for the Raptors. But the Raptors are second in the league in defensive rating. They're only 17th in offensive rating, and they're really middle of the pack in pace. Very similar team in terms of style of play to the championship team from last year. They are a good three-point shooting team. They're third in three-point percentage, seventh in attempts per game, and really aren't bad at anything. They're just kind of, they've struggled with consistency on offense, and they've also had some injuries and stuff to deal with. So that's definitely part of it. But defensively, they're a juggernaut, and the Wolves offense has been struggling so much of late that the Wolves could really struggle, will surely really struggle to score against them on Saturday. And it'll, a lot of it will have to do with whether or not Towns is available and how Gasol plays. He's starting to really show some wear and tear, obviously, over the last season or two, but is a little bit of a weak link for them. So post-defense, you know, there aren't that many teams that you need to worry about going up against a strong post player anymore. And the Wolves could be a little bit of a kryptonite for the Raptors in that sense. Although the lack of outside shooting against a good team is going to be a significant shortcoming in this matchup, to be sure. And we'll be, so on Monday morning's podcast, we will talk about that matchup on Saturday against the Raptors. We'll actually kind of cover both the Pacers game from Friday, the Raptors game from Saturday, and we'll look ahead to the Monday night game against Denver. So we'll have a lot to cover, really three games worth on Monday's podcast. We'll also talk about any rumors that crop up over the weekend now that the Wolves have been active in the trade market. So we'll have more to talk about there as well. All right, that's all we have for you today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.